Thank you, and I'm so glad that you're.
Thank you, Judy. Okay, so let me start recording. Jody, hold on.
I just record. I started it.
You started it. Okay. Okay. All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome. It is the sixth day of Tshuva, of our new year, Hataf Shin Pei Aleph. Unbelievable. And yes, I'm Riva Muna, and I'm speaking from Tzfat, Ira Kodesh, Baruch Hashem. So basically what I would like to do, I think a little bit I had to cut out because I had to fit it into the time. So I'm going to give you a little, just a tiny little overview of where we are right now in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and go into from there into the significance of the letter five, and the number five and the letter He, as kind of an umbrella, an overview of this entire spiritual birth that we're going through, beginning on Rosh Hashanah and culminating in Hoshana Rabbah, and of course continuing through the whole year, but to kind of have an overview of what's happening on a soul level as we construct a new blueprint for the year, a new spiritual blueprint, and a new material blueprint for this year, Lefi Kabbalah and Lefi Hasidut. So I wanted to just start a little bit, really mamash, just a few moments, because it really wasn't part of the class. I really would like to talk about the letter He. I'm going to only very briefly touch on the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, only because I just don't have enough time to do everything really in depth, because I would like to finish off with giving us all a taste of Ne'ilah and Ne'ilah Al Pi Chasidut and Kabbalah, and really, really what's happening during that time, so that we kind of have a beautiful roadmap to give us what we call a...
Excuse me, we heard it to you earlier on, you had Gil Midas, so you go ahead with those other things. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So just to say a tiny, tiny bit on where we are right now, is of course in the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. And it's very important to begin with this understanding that in the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, what we're doing is, if people are feeling a little tender, and you know that this spiritual work is very deep, and the transformations are really maybe very deep, very high, perhaps maybe even very intense, it's important to give an overview that on the other side of the year, we do this transformation of all 49 levels of Tahara, right? So in other words, a full partsuf of every single sfira. We do that beginning from Pesach. I say beginning from Pesach because essentially Keter, or the inside of Keter, which is Das, and Chachman Bina, we do the first night of Pesach. And then, of course, the second night of Pesach, we begin counting already Chesed Shebechesed, right? We begin fixing Chesed that's in Chesed. And we take an entire week and we fix one particular Midah, and Midah as in also manifesting in our body as an energy center, well, in English, we call them like chakras, right? But an energy center where the energy, you know, flows through from through a particular lens or a particular flavor. So this whole process on the other side of the year, in other words, on the Pesach side of the year, it happens in a tiny bit more than 7 weeks, like 7 weeks in one day, right? And this entire process on this side of the year essentially happens in 7 days, because the first 2 days we again we have our Keter Chachma Bina, right? So Keter is the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah Chachma, and so on and so forth through all the 10 days, all the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So basically, we're doing 7 weeks of work now in 7 days. So it's very tender. It's very adin. Tonight, right now, as we speak, it's quite profound because we're Or Le Vav Tishrei. So we're entering this fixing of Tif Eret, which is Torah, and here we are, being on the line, learning Torah together. Of course, it's there's much more to say, but this is just a tiny little overview to say that each one of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we're fixing an entire partsuf, in other words, from Keter and down to Malchut, of a particular midah, and culminating on Yom Kippur when we go into Malchut. This journey is, this is a whole class. I just really wanted to give us a tiny bit of an overview of these 10 days, particularly because I was teaching last night and I was very disheartened. There were a lot of young women there and they were saying, these are 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur where Hashem is just mad at us and judging us and deciding if we're going to have a good year. And I was like, wow, that is not at all how it's given over and given down in Hasidut. It's the opposite, that these are 10 days of Rabbi Nachman teaches from the story of the Sheva Betlers, of the seven beggars. So he teaches the story of the sixth day. And I find this hashgacha unbelievable. Here we are right now on the sixth day, the sixth of the 10 days. So that's quite amazing. Of course, it's referring to the Sheva Brachas of the reunification of the divine masculine and the divine feminine as seen as these two beautiful orphan children. But what Rabbeinu teaches there on the sixth day is that the Bat Malka, right, or the princess, had 10 poison-tipped arrows shot into her, right? In other words, one arrow shot into each sfira, beginning with Keter, right? Keter and Chachma, Bina, Dot is the inside of Keter, so we don't count it separately. Chesed, Ruah, Tiferet, Netzachod, Yisod, and culminating in, of course, Malchut as the vessel. And Rabbeinu teaches there that she's been had these 10 poison arrows shot into her, damaging, of course, and wounding the entire Eitz HaChaim, or the entire blueprint of her soul, of her psyche, of her garments of will and thought and speech and action. And every day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the beautiful, unbelievable thing is that one of these poison-tipped arrows is removed one day at a time, each one day after another for 10 days until we reach Malchut. And the Bat Malka, the Shechina, the divine feminine, the vessel, the princess, it's all the same thing. And she comes open and healed and ready to reunite with her beloved, Kutabrihu, of course, the infinite, the Ein Sof. So this is the process that we're in right now. I'll say maybe one more thing, because this is a separate class, but I wanted to give this to you as an overview, so that when we get to the point of Ne'ila, it will be a bit more with the foundation of the 10 days that was leading up to this entire process. So if we imagine that are Or Mekif, in other words, a very large circle surrounding us. We also can refer to it as our auric field, right? In other words, it's light that is surrounding our being, but is not yet integrated into our vessel. So this is what we birth on Rosh Hashanah. We birth our new Or Mekif for the year. In other words, all the potential light for the new year, we bring it into our Mekif, which is basically like an or, an auric field around us. And we spend the rest of the year integrating this light bit by bit. In other words, every chag, we draw in the light, and it nourishes both literally a particular body part, an organ in our actual physical body in the Olam of Asiya, but also in on the level of Parzufim. And soon we'll get to the five, but again, it's nourishing and bringing light into all five levels of our soul, right? Which we'll talk about in a minute, the five levels. But essentially, every Rosh Chodesh and every Shabbos and every Chag, we draw from that light that we received on Rosh Hashanah as a Mekif, in other words, as a surrounding light. And we draw from that in every single one of those times. Of course, every day as well, but it's very concentrated on Shabbos and on Chag and on Rosh Chodesh. So just to say one more little tiny piece of the map, because it's going to again come up in the journey from this time period and peaking and culminating. What we're talking about right now is that Ne'ilah, after Ne'ilah, we'll talk about, well, then the transition into Sukkot and Hashanah Rabbah, and that's going to be the next step tonight. We're going to take it to the apex of Ne'ilah. So what happens essentially is that we're the same process, in other words, moving from Keter to Malchut in these 10 days is also a process where we are moving from silence. Keter is very deep stillness and silence. And we are going all the way to Malchut, which is to essentially learn how to speak again, but this time b'tikkun, and how to use our voice again, but this time b'tikkun. And I hope that you guys are making the connection that the exact same thing goes on the other side of the year, right? So with Pesach, the very first night, we use our mouth. So we use speech, peh, right? Mouth, sach, speaking. But immediately after that, we begin to count to the Omer count, and essentially we go into silence, because the Omer count is the counting of the barley harvest, which we say is animal food, and animals, of course, cannot speak. And it culminates in, once again, recovering speech, you know, to learn how to speak as a human being, because the differentiating, in other words, what we are called is medabeos, right? We're called human beings. The difference between us and animals is, of course, the koach hadibur, amongst many other things. But one of the most obvious is our ability to use consciousness to communicate in speech and to conceptualize and share and communicate using speech. So another part of this journey that we are going through during this time is moving from Rosh Hashanah, from absolute stillness and silence. In other words, there's no words. There's the kol shofar, the kol dmama of the unka deliba, right? The sound that the depth of the heart gives out when there are no words, right? We're not able to verbalize, so much so that also the Chachamim tell us mamash not to do vidui on the first 2 days of the Asiyat Yemei Tshuva. It's not the time yet to speak, because at that point, really speaking would only do harm. It's much like if we have a fight with our beloved, and now, okay, we're going to attempt a reconciliation, but first the love needs to be restored, the trust needs to be restored, and then people can get to speaking things out, and then get to even like apologies. But it's not the time on Rosh Hashanah to do that yet. So we're going through this journey again of the rectification and the healing also of our speech, which of course culminates at Ne'ilah. One way it's when we're davening the fifth Amida of the day. So that was just like a little overview that I wanted to give. I wanted to give and end by saying one more thing before we transition into the number 5 and the number 13 and Ne'ilah. So one more thing is just to again say, much like on the Pesach side of the year, that we go through these 49 levels of rectifying all of the midot in a very deep way. We're doing the same thing on this end of the year. We're just doing it in a very, very sped up process. As you can see, time is very compressed. The same way we say the entire year is contained in the first the first 2 days of Aseret Yemei Teshuva and Rosh Hashanah, the whole year is contained in those 2 days. So it's the same here that the entire 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer is contained in 7 days. It's 10 days, yes, but the first 3 days are Chachma Bina Da. No, sorry, Keter Chachma Bina. Okay, so one of the other things to keep in mind here is that we are also moving through this, again, always these connections between the lower feminine, Malchut or Rachel Imenu, and the higher feminine, or Bina, and Leia. And they have very different qualities, and that itself is a class that, please God, we'll get into an Parshat HaShavua, hopefully throughout the year. We've done a lot in these last 3 years about Rachel and Leia, those of us who've been learning together. But this, again, idea Yaakov Avinu having two names, right? Yaakov and Yisrael. And when he's in his what we call mochin de katnut, or as of yet immature consciousness. So he's known as Yaakov, and his zivug is Rachel, is Malchut. But however, when he goes through a process of being able to integrate paradox, and being able to hold both extremes at the same time, which is a very great leap in and growth in consciousness, then his zivug is Leia. And Leia is Bina. So we always know the reference to Bina is always the 50th gate, right? Share Bina. And it's basically after we have done all of the work that we can to balance our own midot, and to come back into alignment through fixing our thought, speech, and actions, particularly here, our emotions. So then we are gifted from above always with this Share Bina, with this 50th gate. So Rabbeinu brings down that that at the height of Yom Kippur, so at Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, we are, yes, ascending to Bina consciousness, which is what we call the elevated feminine consciousness. In other words, it's the feminine consciousness that the Yaakov and Rachel was a very beautiful, but very, on some level, easy zivug. In other words, they were brought together. He saw her. He fell in love with her. It was love at first sight. Yes, he had to put in effort and he had to work for her. But the work was not around their relationship. The work was around his inner ability to deal with darkness, right? Remember, he's an Ishtam, Yoshev Oalim. He's very Pashut and he only knows goodness. and he's got to go through his own transformation of living with around Lavan, right? But the Leah relationship it's very, very significant here, because this mirrors our relationships with Hashem. So just to take one step a little back for a second, that in our first attempt, in our first marriage, so to speak, with Hashem, our first marriage was Shavuot, right? So again, please notice that we're mirroring, we're getting a second chance. We're doing the whole Shavuot story over again on this side of the year. Okay, I hope that's clear. If it's not clear, please ask in the chat box what I mean by that. But let's go back for a minute to the Shavuot side of the year. So on the Shavuot side of the year, we did this whole process to rectify the 49 levels of Tum'ah, right? And to fix all of our midot. For 7 weeks, we've been preparing and counting. Of course, we go into a mikvah, right? And then that night we have Shavuot and, big revelation, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up and he's going to bring us the luchos, and he comes down on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. And of course, what's happening? The Chet Ha'Egel, right? So now there has, and Moshe, of course, breaks the luchot, and now there's been a breach, and there's basically what we refer to in Kabbalah as a shviras hakelim, shvirat hakelim, the shattering of the vessels. In other words, our vessels were not able to, number one, have patience to do the spiritual work, to enter into committed relationship, right? Essentially, we betrayed Hashem, right? And the result of most of the Mefarshim speak about that the Chet Ha'Egel was essentially a Pagam HaBrit. And what we mean by Pagam HaBrit is that there's many, many layers of Pagam HaBrit, but it essentially means that we don't know how to be in a balanced relationship of giver and receiver that is harmonious. And to live in the middle path, right? Not the extremes of only giving or only dominating or domineering, or the other extreme of only being a receiver / taker, or being overly submissive. And this goes horizontally, right? In other words, our relationships with each other, with men and women, and all of it, with friends. And this way, also, to go vertically in our relationship with us and Hashem. So essentially, this is the first zivug. And to be clear, it's also, this itself was an attempt to fix the very first chet, which is, of course, the chet of the Eitz Hada'at, which, of course, happened on Rosh Hashanah, on the very first Rosh Hashanah, right? Where Adam and Chava had a choice, a bechira choice, to choose to find a harmonious way of being both giver and receiver to one another, with the shrina b'nehem, with the shrina between them. In other words, with the point being to give kavod to Hashem, to reveal God in all worlds and in all ways and in all places. And of course, they didn't pass at that yet stage, and which is Rosh Hashanah. And that became kind of the thing that we've been trying to fix and repair ever since. And now we get another chance at the Chet Ha'Egel. And at the Chet Ha'Egel, again, we're not yet able to be on that level of consciousness and Bechira, to choose to see Hashem, even in the fear, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming back. What's happening? Has Hashem abandoned us? They're very dark times. I hope everybody can see a parallel to right now, to what's happening also in our world, because we keep coming back to the same test again and again, the same Bechira point again and again, when things look very dark and it's not easy to see Hashem's hand and story and plan, then that always becomes the essential point of our Bechira, to choose the galot, to reveal God even in the dark stories and the hidden places, or to fall into malchut de sitra achra, which is, trying to assert more control and more make choices that further conceal Hashem and further conceal Hashem's plan in the world. So now we're back to the Egel HaZahav. And of course, there's the shattering of the Luchot, the shattering of the marital contract. It's essentially the shattering of the Ketubah that we know from the Mefarshim, all the letters go flying up, go back to being in Shamayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, beginning Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe goes back to draw down for us another set of luchot. In other words, another attempt to have deep relationship with Hashem and with one another. And essentially, when he goes back up, it's after all the tefillot and all his tachanunim and tefillot that please don't destroy Am Yisrael. And very much like the Kohen Gadol is going to do for us, by the way, right? This is a blueprint. We keep repeating the same story again and again and again. The only difference is, and it's a huge difference, that each time we repeat the story again and go through another cycle of the story, where we are, please God, on higher levels of consciousness. So we're not yet fully able to make 100% of different choices, but each cycle and each time around, we're doing a bit better. We're revealing a bit more light. We're getting a bit closer. But I hope what you're seeing here is that we are, the story in its essence is another attempt, right? Another attempt. And we're going to talk about what's the attempt, what are we trying to do here? And then hopefully on this Yom Kippur, we could really, really bring it down, bring it up, I should say. B'ezrat Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And of course comes back down on Yom Kippur and comes down with two very, very essential things for the unfolding of the story. One, of course, is the Luchot HaShniot, right? Or the second set of Luchot. And this time they're not shattered and broken. So now we have two sets of Luchot. We have a shattered set of Luchot from Yitzayim B'Tammuz, and we have a whole set of Luchot from Yom Kippur. So already we don't ever get rid of the broken luchot, right? The idea is always to integrate the broken and the whole. We just had this through the entire blowing of the shofar, right? This idea of tkia, right? A whole sound, and then the shvarim, broken. We have in the word itself, shavim, right? The breaking. And then again, trua, which is an even actually deeper level of breaking, right? It's really sobbing. It's a much deeper level of breaking. But we always go back then at the end and have another tkia. So the breaking is happening in the middle, right? Even sometimes a very deep breaking. But it's held and contained in chesed on both ends. The tkia in the beginning, and the tkia in the end. And the idea is always, again, to hold the two together, the wholeness and the brokenness, the sweetness and the suffering, and to hold them, that they're all part of the unfolding of one story, of the same story. The other thing that Moshe Rabbeinu brings down for us, of course, is, first of all, the very important words that Hashem says to Moshe, right? Salachti kidvarecha. Right? I have forgiven, but it's very important here. The lashon is very important. Kidvarecha. Again, a reference to dibur, to speech. Again, that something happened at the Egel HaZahav, where we again go into this place of our inability to speak because we're not mature enough yet, really, to know how to speak in a way that builds connection and builds love. But we begin to get this process back again on Rosh Hashanah. On Yom Kippur. I don't know if Doba is on the line, but if Doba is on the line, so Doba reminded me, and it's very significant to what we're talking about here, that Yom Kippur is also Rabbi Akiva's Yahrzeit. And we're not going to go too deep into why, but again, the Rabbi Akiva story is once again this holding together of silence and speech, the two kind of ways of serving Hashem and the integration of the two. I'll get to that in a second. But so we bring Moshe Rabbeinu brings us these words from Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha, right? What is Kidvarecha? In other words, that because on some level now we have rectified speech, which we're going to talk about in a minute, that itself is able to bring down Rachamim. It's able to bring down a very deep level of forgiveness and reunification. The other thing that Moshe Rabbeinu brings down for us is, of course, the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, these 13 principles of Hashem's compassion, of Hashem's loving compassion. And we'll speak a little more in depth, but I want to do the Hay and the Five first. But just to very briefly touch on the 13, of course, on its most simple level, 13, of course, is the gematria of both ahava, love, and echad, one. So it's the number itself is always a reference to love. Of course, if we take 13 and we double it, again, why would we double it? Because again, we're saying the two parties in any relationship, right? So the 13 and 13, of course, we get 26. Or the name Yudke Vavke, you know, Hashem's name of compassion, of Rachamim. So okay, so I want to just take a minute to breathe for a second and just ask if anybody has any questions on anything that I said so far, because that was really a foundation, and we're going to build another the next level now. Of the foundation of moving it now into how do we put this all together, tachlis of what's going to happen right now, Yom Kippur coming up. So if anybody has a question, please just put it in the chat and I'll see it. And if there's not a question, then we're going to go for it. Okay, so far no question. All right. So if we look at the word tshuva, we have within it the entire formula of Yom Kippur, which is the day of tshuva. Really, of every day is the day of tshuva, but of course it's like the apex of tshuva, culminating in the avoda of the Kohen, and when we had and when we will have this year the Beit HaMikdash. So, but the word itself, tshuva, is tashuv hey. Is to return the hay, restore the hay. Hay, of course, in gematria, being the number five. Right? So we keep seeing over and over again that there's a very deep connection to coming back, restoring our vessel, our essential self, before it became blocked, before it became wounded, and that there's this idea of wholeness and essential core healing being connected again and again to the number five, and the number five being the letter Hey. We're just going to give a few examples here. One kind of sweet example, which I find fascinating, is that even in English, which is actually really Latin, but don't tell anybody. But the word for tshuva, right, is to re, right? Re means again, right? Pent. Pent is five, right? As in the Pentateuch, right? Or the five books of Chumash, right? So we have even in Latin, slash English, this idea, which I find it fascinating that I don't think they understand where it came from and why that's the word, but that is the word. To repent is to teshuv hey, teshuvah. Okay, so and that came from very deep roots of what is this history of vibes that we have. So I'm just going to lay a foundation, and then we're, please God, with Hashem's help, we're going to weave it all together into a beautiful, beautiful tapestry. But this is just, if anyone's taking notes, this is just to kind of lay a foundation of some very famous vibes, and then how we weave them all together to get this roadmap of tshuva, and particularly tshuva on Yom Kippur, and then particularly tshuva on Yom Kippur at Ne'ilah. Okay, so that's the plan. All right, here we go. So we begin with that we have five worlds, okay? And by world, to be very clear, we're always talking about a state of consciousness. In other words, a state of how awake and aware we are of the totality of perception and perspective, okay? And we also mean by world that in the creative process, I see that someone wrote in the chat, chat box, I'm going to check it out in 1 second. Check. Ooh, that was fun for sure. Okay, so we have the five worlds. What we also mean by the five worlds is that in the creative process, it always begins at the top, right, with a will to create something or someone, as in the case of God, right? And then the step-down process moving through the five worlds. So we have Adam Kadmon at the top, right? Or a very kind of primordial will to create. And then we move down to Atzilut, right? Nearness and Bria to create something. In other words, to have a vision of creating it. And then Yetzira, formation. And of course, Asiya, the world of action. So that's our first five. Okay. Somebody wrote in a text, I'll answer your chat at the end because we've just moved into something else, but b'simcha, I'll answer your chat. Okay, so that's the first five. So we have the five worlds, five states of consciousness slash five step-down processes in the creative process from will to an actualized physical creation and manifestation, okay? Another way that we say that is to draw from potential into actualization. It's a five-step process. Okay, I hope that's clear. Okay, now we move on to the next five, and we have, again, mirroring that process. We have Hashem's name of Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, right? Which is essentially, we call the Shem Havaya. And the Shem Havaya, again, is code for all that ever was, Haya, Hoveh, is, and Yihyeh, will be. So it's the name of the totality of reality. So we're saying that Hey, or five, is somehow intricately connected to this name, which sums up the totality of reality. So five is again a number saying from the highest world to the lowest world, from all that was, is, and will be, we come up with a five. So what is the five? We call it the kutz, or the little spitz, the little point on the very top of the yud, of the first letter yud, right? So that's the apex, again, talking about primordial will or an inner will before there's even any kind of movement. Moving down into the yud, moving down into the hey, moving down into the vav, and then the final hey. Okay. So it's very important to say then that essentially what we are talking about in Kabbalah all the time is that there has been a disconnect between the Vav and the final He. The Vav really talking about the, it's got many faces, but on one level talking about the masculine principle of being the Mashpia, or the channel of light, right, the distributor of light, and the final He, which is always a vessel, or in a very deep way, the ability to receive. So we've learned something very important now. That we're saying that one level of Teshuv He, of restoring the He, right, or coming back to my, as the individual, and our as the collective, restoration or full teshuva, right, is to learn how to be a vessel, to learn how to receive in such a way that A does not shatter the vessel. In other words, does not cause a fracture in oneself or in the other person in the relationship, right? And also in a way, and what we mean by a shattering of the vessel, by the way, is that there is a way of receiving where the person receives light that was not earned, or receive light in such a way that they do not pass the light on further to, like, pass it forward, pay it forward. And therefore the vessel is holding and containing too much light and the vessel shatters. Okay, by vessel we mean in this case human consciousness or our own individual self. Again, if you don't understand anything I'm saying, please, please, please write in the chat box, because the point isn't just for me to share these concepts. The point is that it reaches all the way down into our hearts and it changes our Yom Kippur experience this year. So please, if you don't understand something, please don't be shy and please ask me in the chat box. Okay, so... the next set of five, or hay, that we have is the Sfirot as divided into five. So we begin with Keter on the top, and then Chachma, and then Bina, and then Tiferet. But Tiferet in her compressed form is what we call Zeranpin. In other words, Tiferet is one sphira, but containing all the six midot, right? Of Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. And then the fifth is Malchut. Okay, so again, we always keep coming back to the lowest five. Whenever we have a set of five, the bottom five of the, the bottom is always going to be a vessel. The idea of a vessel, how to receive, how to integrate, how to, in other words, whatever we're receiving, a Torah class, a lesson, a relationship as a female, a relationship to a man, or receiving as the collective Jewish soul, which we call Shechina, and receiving the Or Ein Sof, right, through Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's always about how do we receive in such a way that A, fosters true connection, and B, what the ultimate goal is, another is that malchut, or to be a vessel, is to essentially have bechira, or free choice. It always comes down that the lowest of the hay, or the lowest part of the five, is always malchut. And malchut it is always about the choice between tov v'ra. It's always about, and by tov v'ra we mean to reveal God in any time, space, moment, to reveal God, or to, which is what we call tov, or to further conceal God, which is what we call the opposite of tov. That's essentially any time we talk about having free choice and having bechira, we're talking about revealing, making a choice that further reveals God and wholeness, or the opposite. That's what the Mekubalim and always talk about, and in Chassidut we talk about, that's the essence of Bechira. What we say is, Malchut Dikdusha, right? Or And by malchut, to be clear, when we talk about a vessel and malchut, again, we are talking also about this physical, material level of reality, our world, right? In other words, light as it goes down through all the channels and ends up manifesting as matter, manifesting in its most condensed and hidden form of light. Of this world, right? So there's tremendous bechira, or there's tremendous potential in this world to only see, God forbid, right? But to only see pain and suffering, to see the absence of God, to see that it's very random, to see that it's very disjointed, right? So the bechira point becomes for us as malchut, how do we find the light in the story? How do we find the light in the situation? We're going to go further. I better check the time. Okay. All right. Keep talking. Okay. So now, again, we're also going to talk about how we also in one particular vessel, in other words, one particular human being, we also have five levels of consciousness, slash what we call it, five levels of soul, right? So again, beginning from the top, well, I guess I should begin from the bottom, from nefesh, right? Which is the lowest level of soul, and essentially what we call our instinctive, our instinctive nature. In other words, the force within us which tells us when we're hungry, when we're tired, when we're hot, when we're cold, when we need to be touched, when we don't want to be touched, right? It's what we call the nefesh abehemit, a behemit or behemis, right? In other words, it's also, which is very beautiful, the function in our body that breathes us. In other words, we don't have to take conscious breath. We can take conscious breaths, but if a person, please God, is healthy, a person is breathing, what we call the autonomic nervous system, right? That it's doing it for us. Same with our heart pumping the blood throughout our body. Same with all the processes of the liver filtering, right? In a healthy system, these are not things that we need to consciously choose. It is being done for us by the level of our consciousness and soul, which is called nefesh. Okay, so then we move up and we go to ruach, right? Which is again connected to tikkurit, but this is our emotions, right? Again, the part of our being and consciousness that responds in an emotional way. To situations, both inner and outer. And then if we ascend to yet a higher level of consciousness, and by the way, what I mean by consciousness is that, again, we are more open to both perceive and be aware of and hold space for more and more information and stimulants. In other words, like if I'm in my nefesh, my body is just really focused on keeping me alive, by keeping me fed and keeping me at the right temperature and keeping me, relieving the body of waste, right? That's all part of the nefesh and breathing me into existence in every moment, right? Okay, so now I'm growing in consciousness and now I become aware of more than just my simple bodily functions and needs. I become aware that, oh, I also have feelings. Now, animals also have feelings. So this is still a level that is shared with animals, right? So we have the next level, which is ruach. As I proceed to go up and elevate in consciousness, I come to neshama, which is my mental faculties, my chachma bina da'at. So here already we begin to be more conscious and more aware than animals. Also because animals may or may not be able to think, but they're not able to, as far as we know, who knows, right? But as far as our research and as far as our Torah sages teach us, that they're not able to be aware that they're of their awareness, if you know what I mean by that. And then, of course, we go up to the next level of Chaya, which is the auric field around us, right? In other words, like our the energy that's radiating around us, but not contained within us. And the highest of the five is what we call Yechida, which means that now it's not only my auric field or my consciousness, but it's something that we call, even in English, the collective consciousness. But when we're specifically referring to Yechida, we're talking about the collective consciousness of the collective soul of Am Yisrael, which is also called Shechina, which is also called Knesset Yisrael. Okay, so when we're talking about Yechida, we're saying from the word Yachad, one, and let's go back and say, just to plug in here, that Echad and Ahava, so oneness and love is the same thing in Gematria. Right, so we're already getting a hint of what's going to happen at Ne'ilah, that we're going to be in this big force field of shared love and unity. The borders between us are literally melted away. So much so, and I'm jumping the gun, but I have to because it's so beautiful, that Rav Ginsburg, Rav Yitzchak Ginsburg, who's almost all of you, or if not everybody, knows who he is, but he is a very high Mekubal who teaches Chabad Hasidus, and he brings down that there are three times in the year, but I'm not going to tell you guys the other two right now because I have to save my time. So one of the times that a person is mamish able to access the awareness, the knowledge of both a vision, and Ad Kadei Kach, says Rav Ginsburg, I can't even remember the name of their soulmate in this lifetime, because a person has been so purified from selfish and self-seeking motives at the level of Yechida, which is what happens at Ne'ilah, so we're going to get there. And is so collective, is so connected now in this collective consciousness of the entire soul of Am Yisrael, that really the motivation is about what is good for all of Am Yisrael, and therefore what is good for Hashem's kavod in the world. So that a person, the vision, it's basically a level of very high nevuah, and this is not something that was in the past. This is going to happen this coming Yom Kippur at Ne'ilah, so stay tuned. This is the level that we reach of Yechida, the fifth and highest level of the soul, which is where all the borders between us, all selfish motivation, all self-seeking, anything blocking us from one another on any level, any resentment, anger, fear, is melts away. And the same between us and Hashem. So that was a little teaser trailer. So we'll keep going with the fives. Okay. So we have also another five, of course, of the five inuim of Yom Kippur. In other words, the five restrictions that we place on ourselves on Yom Kippur: no eating and no drinking, no bathing, no anointing ourselves with creams and oils, no marital relations, and no shoes made from leather. Okay, so each one of those is deeply connected to another of the, how we broke down the spherot into five, and how we broke the world down into five, and how we broke consciousness down into five. So it's again yet another map of how we are using abstaining from things in the physical world to open and restore and heal each level of consciousness of our soul and our body, so that everything by the time we reach Ni'ila is absolutely vulnerable and unblocked and receptive for full healing and for full connection. Of course, we have the five tefillot, right? We go through five different full, whole tefillot, but when we say tefillah in Kabbalah and Hasidut, what we really mean is the Amida, which is the heart always of tefillah. Although just to say as a side point, that also we call rectified speech and rectified tefillah as being tefillah that is Shabbach v'hoda'ah, thanking and praising Hashem. But here we are again talking about the Amida. So when we come to the fifth Amida, we are going again to be in Ni'ila time. Okay, so it's again, each time we have an Amida, we are moving to another world, meaning a higher, yet higher level of connection, yet higher level of awareness of ourselves and of others and of God, and yet higher levels of ability to connect and to share in giving and receiving. We have the Aseret Hadibot, given on Yom Kippur, which are broken down to two sets of five. Five of Bein Adam L'Chavero, between man and his fellow man, and five between Bein Adam L'Makom, between us and God. So yet another structure of five, being a way to, again, purify, open, heal, restore that which has been broken and that which has been blocked. Of course, we have the five books of the Chumash. I hope you're just seeing here, these are all one thing. They're all one structure. So in other words, you can take the lowest, lowest meaning number one, right? So you can take the Chumash Bereshit and you can line it up with the world of Nefesh, and you can line it up with the Olam Asiya, and et cetera, et cetera. I hope you guys understand what I'm saying. As someone wrote in the chat box, oh, yes, the artwork behind me is made by my daughter. Thank you. Yeah, okay. And so, I'm going to do a super, super quick five, just for those of you who that we mentioned, again, the restoration of speech. So we take the letters of the Aleph Bet and we divide it down again into five. I just find this like fascinating. Five groupings. So we have the gutturals, right, which are the ones in the back of our throat, right? Ah, ha, ra, ah, right? And we have the ones that are on the palate, right? Gimel, Yud, Bet, Kuf. We have the linguals. Da ta la na ta. We have the dentals. Anyway, I don't know if you guys all want to hear this, but za sa sha ra tsa. And there's happening with the teeth, behind the teeth, and with the lips. This is the last group. Ba va ma pa. But again, there's a reason why they're, each one is a group and divided into five. Again, we talked about the rectification of moving from silence to speech, and it is Rabbi Akiva's Yahrzeit, so it's very deep again to talk about the Tagin. In other words, Rabbi Akiva, one of his Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of his main bodies of work that he gave us was to learn out halachas just from the Tagin, or just the crowns from the letters of Torah. So it's very significant, the letters and each letter and their tagging. Okay, so now I want to just a tiny bit blow your mind before we go on to Ni'ila. And that is to say what I think is like the hallelujah apex moment of all these fives, which is that if we take the letters Chamisha, Chet, Mem, Shin, Hey, right? Chamisha. get ready for this because this is so cool, okay? And we mix up the letters. Of course, we get the word simcha, happiness and joy. So when we're talking about teshuv hey or teshuva, what we're essentially saying is to turn back to joy, or that we're giving a roadmap for how to restore joy. So now it makes so much sense that we're beginning this roadmap from Rosh Hashanah, and of course the culmination is going to be what? Da-da-da-da. Simchat Torah. Simchat being the five in its full rectified renewal of what it means to be a restored five, a renewed five, a rectified five. Okay. If that didn't blow your mind, then hold on, because we're going to go one step deeper and higher, which is da-da-da-da, using the same letters and we mix them up. We also get the absolute full rectification of the five. Are you ready for this one? Mashiach. Same letters, right? Ha Mashiach, Hey Mem Shin. And if we leave out the Yud and we put in the Nikud under the Shin, right? We get the Chet, but in its core, it's the same letters. Hey Mem Shun Shin Chaf, Chamisha, Mashiach. So deep, right? So when we're talking about Teshuvah, Teshuv Hey, to restore the five, is ultimately mamish to restore Mashiach, to birth Mashiach consciousness, which is really the fixing of joy. So we're going to be moving through this first step process of restoring joy for the whole year, of beginning with the din of Rosh Hashanah and moving through the cycles of fixing and restoring all these the midot that we're doing in the 10 days of tshuva, culminating in Yom Kippur, when we're going to keep working on five levels of five the whole day, right? Until we get to the Ni'ilah and the Chadar Yichud. I have 8 minutes to give over the entire Ni'ilah service. Wow. Okay. We can do this. Okay. So, that is just so mind-blowingly, incredibly beautiful. So we'll just move into Hadar Yichud. So at Ni'ilah time, we reach mamish the highest of the five levels of our soul and our consciousness, which is what we call the level, we said before, of Yechida, right? Or total love and unity. And again, I hope it was clear that we're saying, because I'm so sorry, I have to skip over the Yud-Gimel Midas Rachamim because I don't have time for it. On very, very quick levels, 13 is a very big number for us of Rachamim. A man has 13 points to his beard, which is a symbol for Rachamim. Suffice it to say that for us, love is compassion, and compassion is love. So Yud Gimel, again, gematria of Ahava, love, gematria of Echad, one. But again, I have to do this so fast. I'm sorry. But so 13 is, again, we have the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, the 13 points on the beard, the 13 Ani Mamins, the 13 principles of how to take out the love, in other words, principles of how we learn Torah, right? Like, for example, like Kal V'Chomer is a principle of how we learn something out from something else through Torah. So we have 13 of these principles. What does that mean? It's a code. It's a code for how do you unpack the love in any particular piece of Torah, right? Any particular Dvar Torah. So, but now I want to like really blow your mind in the most deepest, beautiful way. So we'll begin a tiny bit by saying this, that the Gemara talks about that the two happiest days for Am Yisrael are Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. And by the way, this didn't change. It didn't go away. It's still there because Torah is Nitzri. It's eternal. So why were they the two happiest days in Am Yisrael, says the Gemara? Because they were the 2 days when they would meshadech or make shiduchim in Am Yisrael, right? That's why we go back to what Rabbi Ginsburg was saying about being able to access a vision of your soulmate during Ni'ilah. He's saying it's not Stam, because the day itself is a day that we're able to make shiduchim from our true, from the deepest place inside of us, right? Because it's also for the good of Am Yisrael. We're like plugged into the collective consciousness and the collective good. I'm so sorry. Eep, sorry, I have to go back and tell you one more five, which is going to blow your mind before I do Ne'ilah in my 5 minutes. 5 minutes. You can't even make this stuff up. Okay, 5 minutes left for me. And that is that it's also to say that another permeation of five, right, is Shemen Hamishcha. Same letters, right? Hey, Mem, Shen, Chet, Hey. Same letters as Simcha, same letters as Hamisha, as five, right? So the Shemen Hamishcha, and again, if you have Ha Shemen Hamishcha, right, the oil, the anointing oil, that number one, it was poured on the Kohen's head to become a Kohen who's going to do the whole avoda of fixing the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and God, right? Between the collective Jewish soul and Hashem. And he gets the Shemen HaMishcha. What is Shemen HaMishcha? Switch the letters around. The oil of five. Woo! What's oil? Oil is always consciousness. Yay! So when he reaches the fifth level of consciousness, he's able again to restore unity and love between us and between Hashem, right? But the really cool, beautiful thing about it is that it's also neshama of Mashiach, right? It's all one thing. I hope that's clear. Again, write me in the chat box if it's not clear. Okay, so now we're going to go to Ne'ilah. Oh, Hashem, please help me to give this over in 5 minutes. Okay, here we go. So Ne'ilah, if we just take the words itself, okay, Ne'ilah has within it the word na'al, sandal or shoe, right? Ne'ilah, na'aleh, to elevate, to be elevated. Lin'ol, to lock. Right, man ulim are locks, like locks on a door. Okay, so now we're going to talk about what. So fast. So we'll start with the first one of na'al as a sandal. Okay, again, sandals in those days, shoes were only made from one material, which was leather, which is ol, or with an ayin, as in skin, as in animal skin. The reason that we don't wear animal shoes on Yom Kippur is because we are shedding our animal nature. Feet is malchut, right? Same what we keep talking about, the feminine, the feet, the malchut. We are removing the animal nature from malchut so that we can come back in deep connection to ourselves and to each other and to perfect love and to perfect oneness and unity. With nothing between us, nothing blocking us. So again, a shoe is used to block between the body and the earth, malchut, right? It makes a separation between the feet and the ground. We don't want a separation. We want unity. So we take our shoes off. Again, in those days, realize shoes were only made from leather. So what would happen is people would come to shul in their leather shoes, and they would, right before Kol Nidre, remove their the leather shoes, again, removing our animal nature as a meditation, as a meditative practice. I am now going into a journey for these next 27 hours of shedding my animal nature and going back to Kutnat O with an Aleph, to garments of light instead of garments of my animal nature, right? Okay, so... this is a challenge to fit it in. Okay, so to also say that this is also mirroring the first encounter that Moshe Rabbeinu had with Hashem when at the Sneh, Mo'erv einenu ukal, right at the bush, the burning bush that was burning but not being consumed. And the first thing that Hashem says is shal na'alecha, right? Take off your na'alaim. In other words, take off your shoes, take off your animal nature, but also take off that which is locked. In other words, a locked heart, locked consciousness, anything blocking us from having a vulnerable and open experience of light and divinity. So we are removing those things. Okay, so also just to say, oh wow, okay, but I'll just say this, my last piece, which is to say that another time that we have a very deep connection to a na'al, a shoe, is in the case where a woman is married to a man who passes away and they have no children. And the husband of her deceased, I'm sorry, the brother of her deceased husband has a special mitzvah called Yibum. And the mitzvah is that he may restore his brother's name by marrying her and having a child, and the Mekubalim say the child will actually be the neshama of the husband who deceased, who passed away. Now, what happens is if the man does not want to do that, then there's a ceremony called chalitza, right? Chalitza. And in that ceremony, essentially what happens, oh boy, I think I have to get off. Judy, I have to get off, right? okay, so I'll just say really fast that the chalitza ceremony is that basically the woman spits into the shoe and she throws it at the man, and essentially because he's saying he doesn't want connection, and we use a shoe specifically because a shoe, again, at the Shat Ne'ilah, is this idea of na'aleh, to elevate, to be, okay, I'm getting off, in total perfect love and harmony.
Next speaker hasn't come yet. You have a
yeah? Few- Woohoo! Okay. We stand there barefoot, right? We stand there without our na'alayim. We stand there shed of our animal nature, having reached this fifth level of rectifying and purifying all five levels of our consciousness. Just to say, to lean ol at hadelet also means to lock. So Reb Shlomo, as in Reb Shlomo ben Naftali v'Pesia, he would always give it over to us that, yes, there is a locking of the door, but it's the Hadar Yichud. That's why we're at the level of Yechida, the highest of the five levels of soul. And what's the locking? The locking is to lock us, Knesset Yisrael, the collective Jewish soul, into the Yichud room together with Hashem. That's why we call it Yichud, because we know to be alone with your beloved, right, is called Yichud. And we dafka go into the Yichud room and the level of Yechida, the fifth and highest level of soul, of consciousness, to experience what we were drawing down the whole day. And the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, Yud Gimel again is Echad Ahava, perfect unity, perfect reconciliation, whole Luchot, whole heart. And just end by saying that Rabbeinu, And it's to say that Rabbeinu says the most important thing of this whole avoda of Yom Kippur, the most important thing is to all of the forgiveness and all the sorries. Oh, by the way, just to also say that five times we're also saying vidui. Five times we're going through the whole program again of I'm sorry. Why do we have to keep saying it again and again and again? Because again, as we raise in unity and connection, our hearts become softer and softer and more conscious and aware of perhaps the pain that we caused and the disconnection that we caused both ourselves and the collective Shechina. I want to bless all of you. May Hashem bless all of us with restored vessels to be able to hold light and channel light and restore vessels that are removed from any pagam, any anger, any resentment, any fear.
You're going to say what Rabbeinu says. You're going to say what Rabbeinu says?
I was going to say Rabbeinu says that the ikar of the avoda of Yom Kippur is to take all of this and bring it into your heart, not leave it on the level of head and not leave it on the level of saying it or talking it or saying the vidui, but the pshitut, mamash, on the simplest level of that what we're aiming for the whole year is that our ma'asim should be greater than our chachma, so that when we come to Sukkot and we're sitting mamish with the collection of the fruits, right, that our fruit should be, in other words, our actual ma'asim, and in other words, living the love, that living the love should be much deeper and higher and more real and more tangible than talking about living the love.
Okay.
Shanizke. Shana tova. Shana tova.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.